Good morning, boys. Prayer request. That's some Thanksgiving request. Okay. Pray to have a sway down in Mexico.
My Uncle Joe.
Okay, let's pray for Joe and Tara. Yeah.
Snow.
Thank the Lord for the snow, yeah. Blessing. Blessed, yes. Pray to be blessed. Okay. Well, that's great. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful this beautiful Sunday morning for the snow that you've given again to water the lamb. Lord, we thank you for your Son that you sent to teach us the way and to water our souls that we might know, Lord, how to find you and reach the goal. Lord, we pray that we might be faithful, and we think of these requests here that were mentioned. Just help them, Lord. Give them strength. We pray for Joe, Tara, and Josue, and different of our brothers that are battling and facing the darkness and the evil of this world, Lord, that you would strengthen them wherever they are, near or far away. Just help us to be faithful. Help us to walk in the light and give special strength to those who are facing difficulties in their life and from their old friends or acquaintances that might try to lure them back into the city of destruction. Lord, help us to be faithful and to press on through the gate, through the narrow gate. May your will be done here today. And we pray that you would give us wisdom as we read your word here and understand. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Nehemiah 5. Do you remember last Sunday? What do you remember from it? The chapter last Sunday. Raise your hand and then I'll answer you, whoever I want to. And does one person remember? Anybody else remember a little bit from last Sunday? Okay.
But all the governors in the area were all fearful and angry that they were moving in. Tobias said that he went boxing around the wall and pulled down.
Right. How heavy of a footprint does a fox stalk around with? They're like a cat. Okay. Well, yeah, that was mockery of the enemies of the Jews. That what they were trying to do, they were trying to rebuild this wall in Jerusalem, and their enemies were just mocking them. Does that ever happen today? People try to obey Jesus and lay the foundation on a solid rock and build right. Do they get mocked sometimes? Yeah, that still happens. So, but what did they do? Did they just quit, go home? No, what'd they do?
Kept building,
right. And they put their swords by their side and they had half of them watching and ready, and the other half they kept building. They built with one hand and held a sword with the other. Remember that? Yeah, that's right. They kept right on. Okay, Nehemiah 5. There's a problem here. A problem, and Nehemiah was pretty upset when he found out about this problem in this chapter. And it was, well, you'll hear. Let's read. And there was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren, the Jews. For there were that said, we, our sons and our daughters are many, therefore we take up corn for them that we may eat and live. Some also there were that said, we have mortgaged our land, vineyards, and houses that we might buy corn because of the dirt. I guess there was a famine. There were also that said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute to pay their taxes, and that upon our lands and vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children, and lo, we bring into bondage our sons and our daughters to be servants, and some of our daughters are brought unto bondage already. Neither is it in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and our vineyards. And I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words. Then I consulted with myself, and I rebuked the nobles and the rulers and said unto them, ye exact usury, every one of his brother. And I set a great assembly against them, and I said unto them, we after our ability have redeemed our brethren the Jews, which were sold unto the heathen. And will ye even sell your brethren? Or shall they be sold unto us? Then held they their peace and found nothing to answer. Usury. Do you boys understand what usury is? They were exacting. If you go to the dictionary, it'll say usury is an unjustly high interest that they just found it very difficult to pay off their debt. Interest on money that they were loaning. These people had to borrow money because they had nothing. They had no money to buy corn and feed their family. Okay? And their brothers, I think possibly that the Jews that came back from Babylon, some were rich and some were poor, but some were well established in the land. Others had just come back from being sold as slaves over in Babylon, right? Just came back and were trying to get a start in a new land. And on top of that, there was a famine. They had nothing, no money to get started with, some of them, I think. And so their brothers, what should have they done when they saw them had nothing? What should have they done?
Just gave them
corn, food, money, whatever they needed. But they didn't do that. Well, and if they weren't going to give them corn, at least they could have given them money and said, you know, maybe when you get on your feet sometime you can repay it. But they didn't even do that. They gave them money, but then they said, you pay me back 20% per year on that money until you get it paid back. Something like that. You know, it was just, they just didn't care about each other. They cared about themselves and their own bank account. Yeah, Nehemiah was very angry at that. That is just awful. Okay, let's read. Keep going reading. Verse 9. Nehemiah is giving them a thing or two. He's telling them some things here. Verse 9. Also I said, it is not good that ye do. Ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemy? I likewise and my brethren and my servants might exact of them money and corn. I pray you, let us leave off this usury. Restore, I pray you, to them, even this day their lands, their vineyards, their olive yards, and their houses. Also the hundredth part of the money and of the corn, the wine and the oil that ye exact of them. Then said they, we will restore them and will require nothing of them. So will we do as thou sayest. Then I called the priests and took an oath of them that they should do according to this promise. Also I shook my lap and said, so God shake out every man from his house and from his labor that performeth not this promise, even thus be he shaken out and emptied. And all the congregation said, amen, and praise the Lord. And the people did according to this promise. Let's stop reading there for a little bit. Back in verse 10, he said, I likewise and my brethren, my servants, might exact of them money and corn. He was the ruler. Nehemiah was over them and was leading out. He could have gotten paid for all he was doing and helping them rebuild their walls, but even he wasn't taking anything from them and was just using of his own to feed himself. See, I used to think that the Jews were righteous people who were wanting to follow God and be a righteous nation. And there were a few that were, but most of these people here, they didn't give and share, did they? That's what you should do. Give and share. They weren't. And so, Nehemiah, when they said, we will do this, we'll just give them back their money and stuff. Why didn't he say, well, good, God bless you, go for it? No, he took an oath of them. He made a promise. Because apparently they weren't very righteous people that would stand by their word. So he made them promised with an oath that they would do this because Nehemiah didn't trust them that they would even do what they said they were going to do. That's the kind of people they were. That's the kind of men they were, apparently. It's a little sad, but Nehemiah had to have a promise of oath there in the Old Testament. A lot of these people were not so interested, really, in following God. They were more interested that they'd become rich and well off and have really nice places. You know what I mean? Does that sound familiar? Do we still have any of that problem around today? Yeah. Men don't change a lot, do they? Okay, well, let's keep reading. We're ready in Nehemiah 5 for verse 14. Okay. Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year even unto the 32nd year of Artaxerxes the king, that is 12 years, I and my brethren have not eaten the bread of the governor, which they could have done. But the former governors that had been before me were chargeable unto the people and had taken of them bread and wine besides 40 shekels of silver. Yea, even their servants bear rule over the people. But so did not I because of the fear of God. Yea, also I continued in the work of this wall, neither bought we any land, and all my servants were gathered thither unto the work. Moreover, there were at my table 150 of the Jews and rulers, besides those that came unto us from among the heathen that are about us. Now that which was prepared for me daily was one ox and 6 choice sheep. Also fowls were prepared for me, and once in 10 days store of all sorts of wine. Yet for all this required not I the bread of the governor, because the bondage was heavy upon this people. Think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. Okay, being the governor, he had a right to live off of the people and ask a tax, you know, of all the people that they would give to him this ox and 6 choice sheep, and the fowl, and the wine, things that they needed. But he did not require it of the people that it be given to him like that. He provided for it himself somehow. And then because he had a heart to want to serve the people, like men, like we should have, right? Yes. But a lot of those people didn't have a heart like that. They had a heart that was very close to their own heart. They wanted to serve themselves. They had a heart after their own self instead of a heart after God, right? And so they were just charging that they wouldn't give the corn, the bread that their brothers so desperately needed in this famine. They wouldn't give them money and just say, whenever you have a chance, pay it back maybe someday. But instead they charged them a high interest too. And there was like no hope to ever get out of it. They had to sell their children as slaves to get the money that they needed to just pay their interest and buy their corn. So they were just in slavery and in bondage because of their brothers, the other Jews, wouldn't share with them and help them. Now, in the Old Testament law, part of the reason that this made Nehemiah so angry was, in the Old Testament law, they were not allowed to charge their brothers interest. They just were not allowed to do that. But they were doing it anyway. So, they just didn't care a lot about God's law, about following Him. And that Nehemiah knew that in time, they would be right back in slavery if they didn't care about following God's law. That's what helps them time and time again, right? To overcome the battles, and just God blessed them whenever they followed His law. They didn't follow His law, didn't care about it, wanted to make themselves rich. and they just had it all taken away by the Midianites or the Babylonianites or whoever God was using to punish his people at that time. And thank God that he kept on punishing them, right? And helped them to remember, whoa, what are we doing wrong here? Right? Sometimes they were worshiping other gods. Sometimes they were just trying to get rid of them. Charging their brother's interest. So, anyway. These Israelites didn't have... They weren't like... See, that's why in the Old Testament there's this scripture. I can't think of where it is at the moment, but it says there's going to come a day, a prophecy, when you won't need to teach each other this is how we need to do it, this is how we need to follow God, you need to know God. Because, see, today in the church, everyone who's a part of the kingdom has that heart to want to follow God. But in the Old Testament, it was a nation that included everyone that was born into it, and they just, half of them didn't care. You know, that's the problem in the Old Testament. That's why they needed the laws. They needed to teach each other. This is what God requires. You know, to try to keep everybody straight. But in the church, it's just not that way. It's a blessing.
Jeremiah 31.
Is that where that prophecy is found? Okay. Yeah. You want to find it for us there, Adam? Read that to us. Jeremiah 31:31. Go ahead. Stand and read it aloud to everybody.
It's like 3 verses long.
Okay.
Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I put my law in their inward parts, and write in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more.
Okay, praise the Lord. That's a blessing. That's why we don't just try to keep everybody possible with us. We just want those who want to follow God now. Okay, well, let's say your memory verse. Okay, let me stand and tell you. This, before you start, it's about
losing
your salvation. Thank you, Judah. Yes, losing your salvation or falling away.
Luke 8:5. And so he went out and showed his children some, and as he showed up to himself on the first Saturday, and the bowels of the air, he
saved them. Okay. That means that some of the seed just didn't produce any fruit. Yeah, very good.
So that's it.
Okay, very good. Okay.
Matthew
Matthew 10:33. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny me before my Father who is in heaven.
Good. Okay.
John 15:2. Every branch in me that beareth no fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he forgiveth it, and it that may be bring forth more fruit.
Excellent.
Matthew 10:22. He who endureth to the end will be saved.
Very good.
Hebrews 12:15-16. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this may become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his property.
That's very good. Thank you.
1 Corinthians 8:9-27. But I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be kept away.
Good. There's a lot of verses here, more than I thought, about possibility of falling away. Do you have one? Okay.
Corinthians 1:23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the
gospel. Okay. Is it not there? You be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which was preached or something. Okay, but anyway, it's possible to be moved away from the hope that you once had in the gospel. Now, Caleb, did you say yours? Do you want to say it? Do you have one? You don't. Okay, that's okay.
Jude 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day.
Angels fell away.
Revelation 2:5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent.
Yes, very good.
Hebrews 3:12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart or of unbelief in departing from the living God.
Yes, it's possible to depart from the living God. Okay.
Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who show severity, but toward you goodness if you continue in his goodness, otherwise you also will not.
Thank you. Very good. Did I miss anyone? Yeah. Okay. Very good. Bless you. Do you have something you're thinking of for next time? Anyone? Thank you, boys, for doing that. Memorizing that. Try to remember the reference, you know, where that was found. Maybe in future years, someone, you might be talking to somebody and they'll say, oh man, I was saved once. Oh, God counts me as a son and he'll never disown me. I've been adopted. I'll never depart. You know, it's impossible. Is it possible to fall away? What do your verses say? Is it possible to start out being a Christian and then to fall away? Sure is. Yeah, so remember that. Remember your verse, where it's at. So you can tell the person what the Bible actually says. check out what the New Testament says, or the Bible, about how to treat your brother. Okay? How should you treat your brother? Should you treat him like they did in Nehemiah's day? Okay, check out how you should treat him. Okay? Okay, you may go.